There's no other way that it can spread. Of course, some will be a lot more prominent than others, like Srila Prabhupada, who's so extremely prominent, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So, you know, it's extremely clear that they're Shaktivesh in that category. But anyone who's spreading Krishna consciousness, to whatever degree they are, is because Krishna Shakti is working through them. And therefore, to that degree at least, they could be considered Shaktivesh. They may not be full, like a full Shaktivesh avatar, but it's all going on the basis of Shaktivesh. Prabhupada said that Jesus Christ was Shaktivesh. In principle, the philosophy is fairly simple to understand, because he spread God consciousness. That can only be done with Krishna Shakti, and he did it in a very prominent way. So therefore, in a broad sense at least, he'd be considered in that category. The line got broken somewhere, and it didn't really get established that well to start off with. So I wouldn't think so that much. There tends to be a lot of material contamination mixed in with it all. But to whatever extent it is genuinely spiritual or genuinely God conscious, and to whatever extent, you know, people are being aroused, you know, some spiritual potency is there to actually arouse some God consciousness, well, that's Krishna Shakti. Now, we're talking about question of degree, but when it's particularly, the Krishna Shakti is like particularly prominent, then they can really be considered like real Shaktivesh avatar.
Originally, when I heard Sri Prabhupada or Shaktivesh avatar, when I immediately understood it, what he specifically said for a particular purpose.
No.
Not the same as the one
that. Yeah, it's wider. No, it's not that. Of course, that would probably also be the case, but it's not just that. Means being endowed with the potency of the Lord. And Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Taraprabhatam. The Sankirtan movement cannot be spread without Krishna Shakti. So when a person is particularly prominent, like endowed with a lot of the Shakti, then they can be considered Shaktivesh avatar. Others, you know, like you talk about the Sankirtan devotees. So it's only Krishna Shakti, ultimately, which allows a devotee to distribute a lot of books or, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness in one way or another through preaching. So, you know, we can recognize the presence of the Krishna Shakti, but I don't think we should be too hasty to declare them Shaktivesh avatars. But certainly we should recognize that their success, that success in preaching is coming from Krishna Shakti, and it's the same Krishna Shakti which a person who has a lot of it gets called Shaktivesh avatar, because they have a lot of it. It's not like another category of entity. You have your jiva souls and your Vishnu tattva and your Shaktivesh tattva or something like that. It's not exactly like that. Well, the term avatar is used to mean that they have so much of the Shakti, it's like they've become endowed practically with a complete Shakti. Particularly in the case of some of the Shaktivesh avatars, like Srila Vyasadeva, he's been endowed with a complete literary potency. Therefore, he's considered avatar. It's not just like a little bit of the Shakti, but he's actually got a major endowment of that Shakti, which is considered to be on the same level that Krishna is endowed with that Shakti, like he has the whole Shakti. So when a person is endowed with so much Shakti that they've got a lot of that Shakti, then they could be considered to be like acting in the position of Krishna. In other words, they can be considered to be in the avatar category. So, you know, one may be getting Krishna Shakti and spreading Krishna consciousness quite nicely in some way or another, but it's not that one would necessarily be getting endowed with the Shakti to such a great extent that the person would be considered to be effectively acting as Krishna, as in the case of Śrīla Prabhupāda or Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta. It's only then that they would really be considered to be in the avatar category. Any other question or comment? Yes, Manuji? You know, Shaktivesh avatar means definitely on the topmost level of the most elevated, like pure love of God, definitely. To get endowed with so much potency like that. The Lord has really endowed his Shakti on that devotee, special devotee. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We have to try to advance, and Krishna or Guru Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda will give their mercy. Srimati Radharani, you know, will get mercy. And that'll help us become purified, that'll help us to get endowed with some Shakti to do some service nicely, like that, or particularly to spread the movement nicely. Yeah. So it won't just descend on us just like that. We have to try to get it. The two fingers, the endeavor has to be there. Devotee has to really try very sincerely to advance and to serve nicely. And try to serve without material motivation like that. And then yes, so much mercy will come like that.
I know in America, especially in the early days, sometimes this question of how much, especially in the area of sanctity time, when a quote unquote big book is true and this is true in the book, at that time the voice was thinking that he was very true because of his purity and very good to remove his book. When he mentioned someone that he was to remove his book, he was considered less true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, this sort of brings in what we were discussing this morning in Bhagavatam class about the time factor. That if a person is advancing, they will become free from the time factor. So in this context, one could take it that if a person goes on and on without deviating in Krishna consciousness and fixed in their service, that is really the sign of purity, rather than that for some short period or occasionally a devotee may do something quite exceptional. That the ability to go on an extended period of time rendering service, that is a much clearer indication of purity than, like what you're saying, someone who can do some exceptional thing. Because in Krishna consciousness, we are engaging our propensities also. So someone may have a propensity to sell things or to deal with people like that in such a way that they can convince people to give something or to take something. So, you know, there may be a substantial sort of material side to that. But in order to carry on and keep going on an ongoing basis, particularly for many years, that's only possible through Krishna consciousness. So, you know, like that. Not just book distributors, but, you know, all sorts of people who are good at this and good at that. Good at preaching in certain ways, or good in doing, like leading kirtan. There can be, you know, material side that a person may be musically inclined, or they may just have some ability to express themselves in words. But can they carry on for a period of time? Or can they just keep on going without being affected by time? That's a much more important indication of real purity. Prabhupada would say that don't be a shooting star. That, you know, suddenly you're very prominent, but then you're gone. Not like that. We would rather have moons who are just there very consistently than shooting stars. And that comes through practice of Krishna consciousness, very sincere practice of Krishna consciousness, and getting the mercy of Guru, Gauranga, Nityananda, and the great transcendental personalities. I think we may have to end here because we're meant to have another seminar. Right? So we'll carry on this evening. We'll discuss about Jagai and Madhai, and how Lord Nityananda was very merciful to them. Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Nityapada kamala Chanda Chetana Yesaya Jagata Jura Jama Jalata.
God. Gaura Thakti, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premananda Ki. So I'll read the purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a very nice song, sung by Narottam Das Thakura. He advises that Nitaipad, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Kamala means lotus and Pada means feet, are a shelter where one will get the soothing moonlight, not only of one, but of millions of moons. We can just imagine the aggregate total value of the soothing shine of millions of moons. In this material world, Jagat, which is progressing toward hell, there's always a blazing fire, and everyone is struggling hard without finding peace. Therefore, if the world wants to have real peace, it should take shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, which are cooling like the shining of a million moons. Juraya means relief. If one actually wants relief from the struggle of existence and actually wants to extinguish the blazing fire of material pangs, Narottam Das Thakura advises, please take shelter of Lord Nityananda. What will be the result of accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda? He says, Heno Nitai Bine Bai. Unless one takes shelter under the shade of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, Radha Krishna Paite Nai, it'll be very difficult for him to approach Radha Krishna. The aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to enable us to approach Radha Krishna and associate with the Supreme Lord in his sublime pleasure dance. Narottam Das Thakura advises that if one actually wants to enter into the dancing party of Radha Krishna, he must accept the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Then he says, Se sambandha nahi. Sambandha means connection or contact. Anyone who has not contacted a relationship with Nityananda is understood to have spoiled his human birth. In another song also, Narottam Das sings, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Bipale Janama Gonainu. Anyone who does not approach Radha Krishna through a relationship with Nityananda has uselessly spoiled his life. Brita means useless, Janma means life, Tar means his, and Sambandha means relationship. Anyone who does not make a relationship with Nityananda is simply spoiling the boon of his human form of life. Why is he spoiling it? Se Pashu Boro Duracha. Se means that, Pashu means animal, and Duracha means misbehaved, or the most misbehaved. Without elevation to Krishna consciousness, through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, life is simply spoiled in the animal propensities of sense gratification. Narottam Das says that ordinary animals can be tamed, but when a human being is animalistic, having only animal propensities, he is most horrible, for he cannot be tamed. Ordinary cats and dogs, or even a tiger, can be tamed, but when a human being goes out of his way and neglects to take to the human activity of Krishna consciousness, his higher intelligence will simply be misused for animal propensities, and it's very difficult to tame him. The enactment of state laws cannot make a thief an honest man, because his heart is polluted, he cannot be tamed. Every man sees that a person who commits criminal offenses is punished by the government. And also in scriptural injunctions, punishment in hell is mentioned. But, despite hearing from scripture and seeing the action of the state laws, the demoniac cannot be tamed. What are they doing? Nitai na bolilo mukhe. Since they do not know who Nityananda is, they never say the names of Nityananda, of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. Majilo samsara sukhe. Majilo means becomes absorbed. They become absorbed in so-called material enjoyment. They don't care who Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are, and therefore they go deep down into material existence. Vijaya kule ki karibe tar. If one has no connection with Nityananda, and if he does not come to Krishna consciousness, his vidya, or his so-called academic education, and kula, birth in a high family or great nation, will not protect him. Regardless of whether one is born in a very big family or nation, or has a very advanced academic education, at the time of death, nature's law will act. His work will be finished, and he'll get another body according to that work. Why are these human animals acting in this way? Ahankare matahoya nitai pada pasariya. They've become maddened by a false concept of bodily life, and thus they've forgotten their eternal relationship with Nityananda. Asatyere satya kori mani. Such forgetful persons accept the illusory energy as factual. Asatyere refers to that which is not a fact, or in other words, maya. Maya means that which has no existence, but is a temporary illusion only. Persons who have no contact with Nityananda accept this illusory body as factual. Narottam Das Thakur then says, Nitaye karuna habe, braje Radha Krishna pabe. If you actually want to approach the association of Radha Krishna, you must achieve the mercy of Lord Nityananda first. When he is merciful toward you, then you'll be able to approach Radha Krishna. Daro nitai charana dukani. Narottam Das advises that one firmly catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Then again he says, nitai charana satya. One should not misunderstand and think that he has caught hold of maya, that as he has caught hold of maya, similarly, the lotus feet of Nityananda may also be something like that maya, or illusion. Therefore, Narottam Das confirms, nitai charana satya. The lotus feet of Nityananda are not illusion, they are a fact. Tahara sevaka nitya. And one who engages in the transcendental loving service of Nityananda is also transcendental. If one engages in the transcendental loving service of Nityananda in Krishna consciousness, he immediately achieves his transcendental position on the spiritual platform, which is eternal and blissful. Therefore he advises, Nitai pada sada koro ash. Always try to catch the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Narottama boro duki. Narottam Das Thakur, the Acharya, is taking the position that he's very unhappy. Actually, he's representing ourselves. He says, my dear Lord, I'm very unhappy. Nitai more koro suki. Therefore I'm praying to Lord Nityananda to make me happy. Rako ranga charanera pash. Please, keep me in a corner of your lotus feet. Shri Nityananda Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So now, this evening, we'll discuss a little bit the pastime of Lord Nityananda with Lord Chaitanya in delivering Jagai and Madhai. Actually, I know that the great majority of you here, I don't know, maybe all even, at least the great majority, are somewhat familiar with this pastime of the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. But perhaps we can add a little bit, a few details here and there. And even if one knows the story, it's very nice and wonderful transcendental account, so it's nice to hear it again also. So this particular pastime takes place shortly after Lord Chaitanya has begun his Sankirtan movement. Lord Chaitanya, during his younger years, up to the age of about 16, He didn't manifest his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A scholar, very intelligent young scholar. But then finally, at around 16 years of age, he started to manifest his ecstatic symptoms. And he began his Sankirtan movement. So the movement began. And then there was the attempt by the Qazi to halt the Sankirtan movement, but Lord Chaitanya organized the mass Harinam. At least 100,000 people went, and they stormed the Kazi's palace. He was like the governor, or almost like the king, of a very large area there in Bengal. So they stormed his palace, and he was forced to submit to them, and he actually surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. So very soon after that, Lord Chaitanya, right around that time actually, Lord Chaitanya instructed Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to start going door to door and meeting everyone and preaching to them. There's actually a very nice Bengali verse, I don't know it all, but maybe Mother Prem Manjari does. What does it go? He told them that you tell everyone, Bolo Krishna. What? How does it go, do you know? Mere Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, and something or other Krishna Shiksha. Bolo? No, it wouldn't be. I know. Anyway, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, and perhaps Boro. Could it be Boro? Or that wouldn't make sense. Anyway, something Krishna Shiksha. Boro. Bolo. I see, okay. So Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, and Bolo Krishna, Siksha, which means chant the name of Krishna, worship Krishna, and speak his instructions, or hear his instructions, like that. Become absorbed in his instructions. So Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur that you go everywhere and you just tell them that. Don't tell them anything more. Just tell them that. So, they were doing that. Actually, Lord Chaitanya told them, don't tell them any more. Otherwise, I'll put you into serious trouble. It's a little extraordinary, but he was very, like, precise with them, that you must just tell them these words, and that's all. So this was the beginning of this door-to-door preaching and pushing the Sankirtan movement, and it's very interesting to note that Lord Nityananda, he was playing a foremost role in the preaching of the Sankirtan movement with Haridas Thakur. In fact, Lord Nityananda, he was instructed later by Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya settled in Jagannath Puri, he told Lord Nityananda, Lord Nityananda wanted to stay there with him, actually. But Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda, no, you go back to Bengal, and you make the whole of Bengal Krishna conscious. So then Lord Nityananda went back, and for many years, actually for the rest of the time he was on this planet, Lord Nityananda dedicated himself to spreading the Sankirtan movement in Bengal. So therefore Lord Nityananda is very well known throughout Bengal, and Lord Nityananda actually started the movement of Namahata. We also, not so much perhaps here in Cape Town, but in Durban and in other parts of the world also, we have these Namahata programs, weekly gatherings in different suburbs, different towns and areas, where the people come together and they hear and chant about Krishna. And actually Namahata means the marketplace of the holy name. So they don't just come together and just chant together and read together, but they organize plans to market the holy name, to distribute it, the holy name. So Lord Nityananda, he started this program of Namahata, organizing the devotees, going to different areas, making people devotees, then organizing the devotees in each area, that you work together to cultivate your own Krishna consciousness and spread Krishna consciousness. So Lord Nityananda, he was based in Godrim Dweep at Surabhi Kunj. The place is still there. And he would go out always traveling around, spreading and developing this Namahata movement. So it all started with this particular time when Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda, and Haridas Thakur, that you go and tell everyone that you chant Krishna's name, you worship Krishna, and you hear his instructions and speak his instructions. So they were going around Navadvip doing that, very faithfully approaching everyone. And some of the people, the pious people, they would react very nicely. And other people who were less pious, because there were many people who weren't so pious in Navadvip in those days, they were abusive. And Haridas Thakur, he was always a little sensitive when people would be abusive. But Lord Nityananda, he didn't care. He would just carry on. And he made up his mind that in order to glorify my Lord Chaitanya, I'm going to make a special effort to find the most fallen people. And then we'll try and give them Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And then our Lord Chaitanya, he'll be truly glorified as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. So he had his eyes open always for these people who were particularly fallen. Because Haridas Thakur, he was a little hesitant. He didn't want to get into any trouble, because he was also a generation older. Even Lord Nityananda, he was, what, I don't know actually, probably about 16 years, I think, older than Lord Chaitanya. And then Haridas was older again, quite a bit older. So, one day, they heard about these two special characters, especially fallen souls, called Jaghai and Madhai, who were well known in certain quarters in Navadvip town. It was a city, actually, quite a big area, municipal type area. So over on one side there were these two people, Jaghai and Madhai, and they were famous. They were simply famous for being big rascals, dacoits, murderers, rapists, and violent robbers, and just the worst. Actually, they were brought up in Brahmin families. Jaghai was the shortened form of Jagadananda, if I'm not mistaken. And Madhai, if I'm also not mistaken, is a shortened form of Madhavananda, if I'm not mistaken. Those were the names, their real names, but because they are so debauched and so low class, they didn't use those nice names. But they used these like funny abbreviations, Jaghai and Madhai. And their business was simply robbing, killing, raping, stealing, and they were always intoxicated. In fact, it's described they were so bewildered in intoxication that sometimes they'd be roaring with laughter uncontrollably. Then they'd embrace each other. And in the middle of the embrace, one of them, his mood would change. And he'd grab the other's hair and pull his hair. And the other one would scream. And then he'd smash him in the face. And so it was just like the most grotesque scene. Just going on and on and on like this. And whenever people saw them coming, they would immediately get out. So, Lord Nityananda heard about these two. So he decided, yes, we must deliver these two. Then our Lord Chaitanya will really be glorified. So he asked Haridas, come on, let's go. Haridas, well, he went along, but he was quite hesitant. And initially they were looking for Jaghai and Madhai. So they were asking people, do you know where Jaghai and Madhai are? And people would ask them, what? Why do you want to know where they are? And Lord Nityananda would say, oh, we want to meet them. And all the people would advise them, no, don't meet them, stay well away. And Haridas Thakur was becoming more hesitant all the time, but still he was being dragged along. So, finally, Lord Nityananda spotted Jaghai and Madhai. So he walked straight up to them and told them, my dear friends, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Bolo Krishna's Shiksha. In a very clear and, you know, like a forceful way, strong way, nice way, but very enthusiastic way. And they were shocked, because people didn't do things like that to them. Someone confronts them and tells them that you do this, especially something Krishna conscious. So they immediately started roaring and screaming at Lord Nityananda and Haridas, and told them that, all right, we're now going to capture you, and we're going to keep you with us, and we will show you some of the sites around our area here. In other words, they were going to take them away somewhere and try and just beat them to death. So Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, realizing that they were in a dangerous situation, they started running. And Jagai and Madai started running after them, running and threatening them. And Haridas Thakur, of course, was quite old. Lord Nityananda was probably in his early 30s or mid-30s, something like that. But Haridas Thakur is probably around at least 50 years old, or perhaps even slightly older. But he's probably at least 50. So he's not young. And now he's got to run for his life. So he's saying to Lord Nityananda, why did you do this? Why did you do this? We were happily going around preaching, and now you've called our death on our heads. He said that when those Muslims were trying to kill me, when he was being dragged from marketplace to marketplace, he said, I didn't feel as scared as I do now. And he was praying, oh Krishna, please save me, save me. And telling Lord Nityananda that when we get back, I'm going to tell Lord Chaitanya, and I'm going to tell Advaita Acharya, and then you'll be in trouble. But Lord Nityananda, of course, was younger, and he was running away easily. He just called back over his shoulder that, oh, you can tell whoever you like. I don't care. You tell your Chaitanya if you want. You tell that old man Advaita. I don't care what they say. So, anyway, because Jagai and Madai were so intoxicated, they eventually just collapsed on the ground. And Lord Nityananda and Haridas, they managed to escape, and they made it to Srivas Thakur's house on the other side of the town. So there, they came running in. And particularly Haridas, he was very disturbed. So Haridas Thakur went to Advaita Acharya and complained. He said, this person that our Lord has sent me with, he's not the proper sort of person for me to go with. He's mad. You know what he did today? He went up to these people and then he described the incident. And we were lucky. I was so lucky just to get away with my life. But once we got away, he's telling me that tomorrow we have to go and find them again. So I can't go out like this. And he's appealing to Advaita Acharya, you please go and tell Lord Chaitanya on my behalf that I can't go with him any longer. He's saying that, you know what he does sometimes? Sometimes, when we're walking by the banks of the Ganges, he sees a crocodile swimming in the Ganges. And he immediately shouts in ecstasy and dives in the Ganges to go and embrace the crocodile. And I have to dive in and drag him out to save his life. And other times he dives in the Ganges and he's just being taken along very happily by the flow. And I'm in anxiety that he's going to drown, so I go running along the bank trying to think of some way to save him. And as I'm running along, I come across a group of people who are walking along the bank. and Lord Nityananda, he then shouts abuses at them. He insults them. And then the people see that I'm with him. So then they chastise me. And you know, sometimes he goes running up to young girls and asks them to marry him. And then he runs away, and I can't run so fast, so I'm left there. And the girl's father comes, and so it's terrible. Sometimes he jumps on the back of, he runs into someone's backyard, jumps on their bull, and starts calling out, "Mahesh, Mahesh," like Lord Shiva riding Nandi. Sometimes he runs into someone's backyard and milks their cow and drinks the milk and runs away. And I'm left there and they catch me. So I can't take it anymore. He's mad. So Advaita Acharya, and then he said, and now these two people, and he wants to go back and meet them again. And Advaita Acharya said, yes, you're right. He's mad. And actually, it's best that he associates with them, because he's intoxicated with love of God, and they're intoxicated, so they'll get on very well. And actually, they'll become intoxicated with love of God because of his association. So Haridas Thakur was quite shocked to hear that statement. Then Advaita Acharya declared that I say that tomorrow, or in the next few days, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, these two rascals will join the assembly of devotees. They'll be accepted in the association of these devotees here as the personal associates of Lord Chaitanya by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He declared that like a omen or a vow, that this will happen. So Haridas Thakur, he was completely amazed. Then Lord Nityananda went and told Lord Chaitanya that we met these two, and they chased us, and they wanted to kill us. And Lord Chaitanya immediately got up and said, what? Where are they? I'm going to go right now and kill them immediately. But Lord Nityananda said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. They didn't cause us any harm. I've made up my mind that I want to see them delivered. I want them to get your mercy. So tomorrow, I'm going to go back. And I'm going to try and give them your your mercy. So Lord Chaitanya laughed. And he also said what Advaita Acharya said. He said, yes, I know that tomorrow or in a few days, I'm going to see these two. By your mercy, they're going to join our devotees here and be accepted in the association of devotees. So then, Lord Nityananda, he was a little careful. He didn't just walk straight up to them. The next day, or one or two days later, he just started apparently aimlessly walking around the area where they were. Just sort of wandering around, sauntering around, looking here, looking there. And he saw them in the distance, and he just walked up to them. And Madai came up to Lord Nityananda and said, who are you? And Lord Nityananda said, well, actually, most people, a lot of people call me the Avaduta. So just call me Avaduta, which is a very unusual name to have. It means like a wandering, like practically mad mendicant. Very unworldly type of mendicant. So Mare said, oh, you're Avaduta, are you? And then he picked up one broken clay pot, and he struck Lord Nityananda on the forehead with it very hard. And it made it a deep gash in Lord Nityananda's forehead. And blood came pouring out and actually went all over his body, all over his clothes. It was a very severe wound. So Lord Nityananda was a little stunned by this. So Madai came to strike him again, but Jaggai stopped him. This was to Jaggai's credit. He stopped him and said, "No, don't hurt him. He's not doing anything. He's just a wandering mendicant, so leave him." And he was trying to stop Madai, but Madai wanted to attack Lord Nityananda again. So this whole exchange was going on. And some people then called Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya appeared on the scene. He came running up and he called out, "Chakra, Chakra." And then the Sudarshan Chakra came descending from Vaikuntha. And he was about to destroy both Jaggai and Madhai with the chakra when Lord Nityananda ran up to him and said, "No, don't. At least this Jaggai, he actually saved my life. He saved my life. Madhai was going to attack me again, but Jaggai stopped him and told him not to hurt me." So when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he was very, very happy with Jaggai. And he embraced Jaggai. And he told Jaggai that from now on, you're going to be freed from all of your sins. And I'm going to accept you. Jaggai threw himself at Lord Chaitanya's feet. And he was immediately becoming transformed on the spot. But then Madhai, who had actually attacked Lord Nityananda, Madhai, he came and he also threw himself at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and said that, "Why only him? Why are you giving your mercy only to him? Not you also? Because we were doing everything together. We were sinning together. It's not that one of us is really better or worse than the other. So why not give me your mercy too?" But Lord Chaitanya said, "No. I'm not giving you anything because you hurt Lord Nityananda. And you should know that Lord Nityananda's body is more dear to me than my own body. And you've caused such a terrible injury to him." All the while Lord Nityananda was saying, no, it didn't really hurt me. It's not bad. I'm not in pain." But still Lord Chaitanya wouldn't listen. So Madhai was begging Lord Chaitanya, "Please tell me, what can I do? What can I do to become free from my sin?" And Lord Chaitanya told him, "You throw yourself at the feet of Lord Nityananda." So he did that. And Lord Nityananda, of course, immediately excused him. Then Lord Chaitanya accepted him. Then Lord Chaitanya, with all the devotees and Lord Nityananda, he took Jaggai and Madhai back to Srivas Pandit's house. And there they had big kirtan for a little while. Then Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. And he announced to the devotees that from now on, these two, even though in the past they were considered so sinful, that if just their shadows would touch you, then you'd think, "Oh, I must take bath in the Ganges immediately, fully dressed." But from now on, you should know they're worshipable. And he said, "Just watch. Now I'm going to remove all their sinful reactions." So Lord Chaitanya sat down and he got Jaggai and Madhai to sit down. And Lord Chaitanya went into like a state of meditation. He said, "Just watch me. I'm going to absorb all their sinful reactions." So as everyone was watching, they saw Lord Chaitanya's body, which of course normally was an effulgent golden color like molten gold. They saw Lord Chaitanya's body go darker and darker and darker until it was just black because he was absorbing all their sinful reactions. And he was telling everyone, "Just watch as I absorb all this." So then when he was completely black with all their sinful reactions, then Lord Chaitanya announced that, "What I'll do now, I'm going to give all these sinful reactions to those people who offend Vaishnavas." So then he, through some transcendental mystical process, he then distributed all that terrible, sinful, bad karma onto the heads of the offenders of devotees. So, and all the devotees cheered. They all thought that was very, very nice. So then Lord Chaitanya announced that from this day on, you must know that even though they are very sinful, you must never think of them like that. Because they have been blessed by Nityananda. Now, if anyone offers food to them, you should know that Lord Krishna immediately accepts that to be like nectar. Even if someone just takes a leaf from a tree and offers it to them, then Lord Krishna will accept that leaf like nectar. Now they're great exalted devotees. So then he actually blessed them and gave to them pure love of God. And he told all the devotees there, now you give your blessings to these two. So Jagai and Madhai went around, and all the devotees put their feet on the heads of Jagai and Madhai. And at the end, Jagai and Madhai were in such ecstasy. They were just rolling up and down on the ground, rolling in the dust of the feet of the devotees till their bodies were just covered with dust. And then there was huge, huge kirtan. So then we find a very interesting description in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Right at that, I mean the whole thing is... So now I'll read a little bit. I'll read a little bit and just explain a little bit also of what, how the demigods view this whole scene. So... let's see. Yamaraj, the god of death, was a daily visitor with Shiva and Brahma to Lord Chaitanya's, and witnessed Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Seeing the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, Yamaraj inquired from his assistant, Chitragupta. Chitra means picture, and Gupta means secret. So Chitragupta, he's the chief secretary of Yamaraj, and he has a secret picture of every living entity, and he knows exactly what they've done, and he's the leader. He has a team of scribes. They write down all the karma and everything of all the conditioned souls. So Lord Yamaraj inquired from Chitragupta, what is the extent of the sin of these two persons, and what does it mean that they've been delivered? Chitragupta replied, O Yamaraj, please don't pursue this matter. It's futile. If my assistant writers were to sit down and write the sins of these two, they would never finish, even after months of writing. And if you want to sit down and hear their sins, then you'll have to hear millions and millions of them. All of our writers describe that their sins are so voluminous that they feel harassed and are unable to keep track of the number of them. The amount of sins they commit, which I have to record, forces me to the brink of complete exhaustion and complete breakdown from trying to write them down. The bottomless pits where these records are kept will bear witness to my plight. These two have made us writers weep. But now most easily, Lord Chaitanya has absorbed all their mountainous pile of sins. So please give me permission to throw all of these records into the ocean. So Yamaraj, I'll just sort of paraphrase it. Yamaraj had never seen such a display of mercy.